Yeah, like he said, we're going to continue with 1 John. We've almost reached a halfway point in this book. And I hope this series has been helpful for you, in learning how to read the Bible, in a sense. And also, if you're a Christian, that you can have assurance of your salvation. And perhaps, it's also been a wake-up call for you. If you're a Christian, but you haven't really been thinking about, your relationship with God before the series began. And for those of you who aren't Christians, I hope it's been somewhat interesting for you. Maybe you would like to learn more about what it is to have this eternal life, or what does it mean to be in a personal relationship with God. So last week we covered a few verses that John wrote to encourage the believers at the church. He writes to them saying that their sins have definitely been forgiven, right? That they know God, that God's word abides in them, it remains in them. And that, that they have overcome the devil or the evil one. All right. And today we're going to continue in the next few verses. All right, I hope this works. Oh, nice. Okay. It's like the first time it's worked on the first try. Last time I think I forgot to turn it on. So let's read this together. Let's read this together on three. All right, one, two, three. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Right. So some would say that life is a bunch of choices and decisions that we make. There are good decisions, we have bad decisions, right? Decisions that, we might, regret for the rest of our lives, or, decisions that we just, say YOLO and just move on, right? But have you ever been in a situation where you had a difficult choice to make? Maybe it was, which college to go to, or maybe it was which job offer to accept. Maybe it was, something as small. Maybe it was like what to order at a restaurant or what to buy. So a lot of times in life, we reach this. Right? We reach a fork in the road, and we can only choose one or the other, okay? We have to make a decision, and we can only choose one or the other. And I realize that this happens a lot in superhero movies. So the series of superhero is usually, faced with like a tremendously difficult situation, like a dilemma. And, they have to make a decision. Like, what are they going to do? So, for example, in Batman, The Dark Knight, or the Joker, he kidnaps like two people, two very important people to Batman. One is Harvey Dent, right? The city's hope for a better future, like free of crime and where justice prevails. And the other person is Rachel, right? The woman that he loves. Right. So likewise, when it comes to love for the world, I'm going to go back. All right, for the world. Howard, just told me that we actually have a pointer. Nice. So it's either love for the world, right, or love of the Father, or for the Father. Right. So, and you can only choose one. You either choose God or you choose the world. This is the dichotomy that John presents to us. And you might be wondering, what if I just don't choose, right? Maybe there's like a third option. But there actually is no third option, right? And John explains that to us. It's either one or the other. It's either the world or the Father or God. But before we get ahead of ourselves, what does it mean to love the world or the things in the world? So John 3:16, I'm sure that this, everyone or a lot of people can memorize that and recite it by heart, by memory. So it says what? It says that God, right, loved the world. For God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only son, right, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So God loved the world. Right? So God loved the world. From this it seems that, then it can't be a bad thing, right? Like, because it says here that, do not love the world, but even God loved the world. So what does it mean then? What does it mean by John commanding the people to not love the world? So there's important to know that there are nuances, two words. Right? So So it's important. So the Greek word for world is cosmos, right? Cosmos. So with a K. But it's also where we get our word with a C, same thing. It means the world or the universe. So it can be mean, it can mean like, so for John 3:16, the world means humanity in a sense. It means the people, everyone here. But here it means like the system, this world in its entirety, in general, right? This overarching thing, this world. And also for love, right? Love can have its nuances as well. So we learned about, maybe a few weeks ago, like loving your brother, right? Loving one another. And in that sense, you know, you fulfill the new and old commandment, right? You love each other. So that's kind of like this you're caring for one another, right? You're sacrificing for one another. But in this sense, love, it means to receive pleasure or gratification from something. So to love the world is to have high esteem or to have satisfaction with something, to take pleasure in the world, right? To love the world is to be so taken up in the world and what this world has to offer that God is no longer the number one priority, right, in your life. But so what? You know, didn't God take pleasure in the world he created, right? He said he created everything and he said it was good. It was good. So you know, why does the world get such a bad rap? You know, why does it deserve this negative treatment that John gives? But if we go into deeper what it means by the world, we see that, you know, it becomes clear that, well, actually, you know, John has a point why we shouldn't love the world. And he provides three things. All right, so in verse 16, turn your Bibles open with me to 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17. So I'm going to give you just a few moments to turn there with me. Because I want you to see this for yourself, okay? I want to see this for yourself. All right, 1 John 2, 15 to 17. Okay, so in verse 16 it says this. For everything that belongs to the world, right, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's lifestyle, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Right? Where in the ESV it says, right, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life. Right. All right. So is it wrong to desire something? No, it's not wrong to desire something. But are all desires good? No, it's not all desires are good. And here John talks about two desires that are not good. Right? So the first is the desires of the flesh. Right? The desires of the flesh. So the word for desire in Greek is a neutral term. It neither means something like bad or good. However, it is whether your desire is in the will of God that makes the desire good or evil. And here John talks about two desires that are not good. Okay, so firstly, it is the desire of the flesh. Flesh meaning the person as a whole, okay, your being. Right? This desire is a craving after what we want as people. And I just want to be clear that not all desires in themselves are bad, okay? But what we know is that some of these desires that John talks about are not good because they are not from the Father, but are from the world. So look at verse 17 with me. Okay. And it says this, "And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." So the world is passing away with its desires. The world is passed away, this passing away is already happening. Okay, this world is going to vanish. It's going to come to an end. But you want to know what doesn't pass away? It's the lives of those who do the will of God. Because they abide, they remain forever. Right? And these people are the people who have a personal relationship with God. Okay? These people who have eternal life, who have fellowship with the Father. These are the people that remain forever. What it means to do the will of God, it means to keep his commandments. Okay? It's God's will. You're wanting God's will to happen in your life. So in the letter of John, we talked about loving your brother, right? But there are so many more commandments in the Bible. And to know them means that we have to know God's word. If we don't know, you know, what God desires from us, what he wants from us, if you don't know what his commandments are, then it's going to be really hard to do his will, wouldn't you think? So you have to know God's word, right? And his word has to abide in you, right? Last week we talked about, you know, young people, right? You have the word of God and it abides in you. It remains in you. And it should be, and it should affect everything that you do. It should affect your decisions, the way you live your life, the things you say, the things you speak, right? The things you think, right? It should affect everything. Because it abides in you. It remains in you. It doesn't go anywhere else. Right? So if you haven't found a Bible reading plan, I know I suggested this, I think, 2 weeks ago. If you haven't found a Bible reading plan where you might read like maybe 3 to 4 chapters a day, depending on the book, and it takes you through the whole Bible in 1 year, I highly suggest that you do that. And if you want, you know, if you want any suggestions, you know, come ask me. And if you also need an accountability partner, I would highly recommend that you find one. Maybe it's someone from your small group. Maybe your small group is already going through one. Or maybe it's a friend, or maybe it's your spouse or your parents, something like that. But I would highly recommend that you do that. Because if you don't read the Bible, then you're not going to know God's will. Right? And then the second one, right? Second one we come to is desires of the eyes. Desires of the eyes. So I think this is very much connected with the first one, the desires of the flesh. But it's a little more specific. You see, eyes, what are they for, right? They're to see, right? The purpose of our eyes is to see. Right? So there's a saying, right? You know, eyes are the windows to the soul, right? When you see through someone, right, through their eyes, you can see, you know, who they are, right? Who they truly are. But are eyes in themselves like an evil object? No, right? They are not. Right? God created them. It's wonderful. Right? It's helpful in so many ways, right? It helps us to, you know, communicate, helps us to get along in our daily lives, right, to do our work, you know, it helps us to enjoy this world, right? Like, if we can't watch movies if we don't have eyes, right, like, you know, if we go, you know, to the beach or hiking or, you know, into the mountains, something like that, it's beautiful, right, but we can't enjoy that if we can't see it, to its full extent. So often our desires are activated by things we see. So there's this website, it's called Slick Deals. I don't know if you guys know this website. So this website that I use to find some really good deals online, I usually go on it like during Black Friday or Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, things like that, and you can find some really good deals. But I'm also a bit cautious of going to this website because I end up like seeing things that I want to buy that I didn't know I wanted to have until I saw it, right? I don't know if you've had this problem before. So this desire didn't appear until I saw it, right? Until I saw it, right? So this happens at, you know, stores too, right? At the checkout counters, you find like, you know, Coke and like bubble gum snacks and drinks and stuff, and you're like, oh yeah, like it's nice, and you just grab it and you put it onto, you know, into your basket. Right? So our desires are not limited, you know, to things that we can purchase, right? It's what you see around you. It's what you experience that makes you to say or to think, you know, like, that might be nice. You know, actually, I really want that. I want that, you know. I want that for myself. So this could be anything, really. It might depend on the person, right, on your taste. It might depend on your life stage, right? What you want is, you know, it might change as you get older. But what is it that you want in life, right? Is it, do you want to be popular? Like, do you want to earn lots of money so you can live comfortably? You know, do you want a nice car or one day to own your own home? Or is it to fit in and be competitive by taking a lot of APs, you know, just because everyone's doing it? Right? Or, you know, or maybe it's to work hard at your job and to, you know, to get promoted. Or maybe it's, you know, to find someone special in your life, you know, that you can one day maybe get married to and have a family with. Right? So these are all desires that you might have. And these are things that you don't necessarily have yet. But then again, I just want to be clear. These desires in themselves might not be bad, might not be evil, might not be sinful. Right? But they are sinful when they are not in the will of God. Okay? They are sinful if they are not in the will of God. Right? So for example, is it wrong to want to do well in school or at your job? Right? No, right? I think it's a good thing, right? It honors God. To do your best, right? To work hard, to work diligently, to do everything with excellence. I think that's responsible, and God would be pleased by that. Right, but what if in that process, right, of trying to achieve that goal, right, you pushed God out of the picture? Right? You know, you only come to church when, you know, you're free, right? You know, when you're free, right? And you only, you know, read your Bible, you know, when you know, when at church on Sunday mornings, right? Or you only pray when, like, you know, before your meals, or I don't know, maybe here at church, right? Maybe you don't attend your small groups as much anymore, or you stop going to youth group. I mean, these are just some things that might happen, right? And then you feel like your closest with God is, you know, it's disappearing. It's not, you're not as close anymore, right? And you don't really think about keeping God's commandments. You don't really think about, you know, what it means to follow God, or, you know, you don't really think about him anymore, right? And then your desire is no longer to do the will of God. And how about another thing? Is it bad for parents to want to, you know, provide the best for their families? Or husbands or wives, you know, to provide for each other? Is that a bad thing? No, right? It's a good thing. Right? Because of love, right, people want to take care of one another. They want to give the best, right, to provide the best opportunities, right? All right, I know, like, you know, like, maybe you want to live in a safe neighborhood. Maybe you want to be in a top school district area. Maybe you want to give, you know, people the opportunity to learn different skills in music, in art, you know, in sports, you know, in technology, things like that. Right? But all these things, what, takes money, right? It takes money. It's expensive. It gets expensive over time. And these costs add up. So, like, imagine, like, a parent, like a father. Let's say a father. It could be a mother, too. A father, you know, because he wants to provide the best for his children, you know, he works long hours, right? He works overtime. He's rarely around with his family. You know, he might leave before his kids get up. He might come back after they're already in bed, right? Or maybe when he comes home, he's too tired to even talk with his kids, right? Or to have any meaningful conversations. It might just be like, you know, did you eat, right? How did you do on your test? And, you know, did you finish your homework? And then that's it, you know. All right. So, because he never really spends any quality time with his kids, you know, they don't have a really good relationship. And his dad doesn't feel like he knows his child that well, and his child grows up feeling like his father wasn't really around. And then I can't imagine that this is what God had in mind, right? I don't think this is what God had in mind. How can a parent, like, train up their child, right, to follow God, to love God with their heart, soul, mind, and strength, right, when they don't really have that close heart-to-heart connection with their child? Right? Or maybe it's you want to get married, so you want to start seeing someone, but that person isn't a Christian, right? So, you know, it's not bad to want to see someone, right? But if it's not in the will of God, if that person isn't a Christian, right? The Bible teaches that as a believer, you shouldn't be yoked with unbelievers. So, like, these are just some examples, right? So doing well in school, working hard, you know, wanting the best for your family, these are not bad things in themselves. But it's when they're outside the will of God that makes them sinful. And then we reach the third one, the pride of life. Okay, pride of life. And it basically means that it's whatever you boast about in your life. Right? Whatever you take pride in, your accomplishments, your possessions, right? In other words, it's what you possess that you value, okay? That you value. It could be your talents, right? It could be your physical possessions. It could be your intellect, right? It could be your well-behaved children, your degrees, awards, titles, you know, power, anything, okay? Anything that you possess that you value a lot, okay? And regardless of what it is, there's a general statement that we can make, and that it's all about us, you know? Most of the time, it's all about you, it's all about me. Right? And this life that we've been given by God is often misused, and it's me-centered. Okay? It's me-centered. So as Christians, we should be doing the will of God. Right? We should be obeying his commandments. We should be living in a way that honors God, that glorifies God, that pleases God. But oftentimes, this is not the case. Okay? So imagine a man, right, who says he loves his wife, right? But he goes off to work, and, you know, after work, you know, he doesn't go home, and he goes to meet another woman, let's say. And then he comes home late after work, and then, you know, he kisses his wife, and he tells her, oh, you know, I'll stay in the office really late and stuff like that, and give me excuses. And he doesn't do this once or twice, but he does this regularly. Could we say that he truly loved his wife? Could we say that he truly loved his wife? And I would argue no. Could we say that he cherished her and put her interests above his own? No. Right? It doesn't matter how many times you say, oh, I love you. It doesn't matter, you know, like, it doesn't matter whether, you know, you say that or not, or even if you say that or not, but it's our actions that speak louder than our words, right? Our actions show what we truly believe. So how about for us? Do we say that we love the Father, we love God, but our lives show little to no indication of our love for Him? We crave the things of this world, right? We see what is attractive, and we long for it more than God. What God has created, right, becomes more important than the Creator. We love the good things that God has made available for us, right, more than we love Him. And the irony is that He gave us every good thing. So usually when someone receives a gift, right, a birthday or something like that, you know, the recipient will accept the gift, say, you know, say thank you and all that, and maybe open the gift, see it, and then, you know, you'll probably, you know, set it aside, at least for a time, right? Because, you know, the gift is not as important as the giver, right? Right? But the problem with us as sinful human beings is that, you know, we've made idols out of the things in this world. We have placed them in a position above God. Right? And when that happens, our will is being accomplished instead of God's. So you either love the things of the world, or you love the Father. Right? You either love the things of this world, or you love the Father. Okay, remember that fork in the road, right? It's only one or the other. It's only one or the other. Okay? And our response to do the will of God should come out of our love for God, right? We shouldn't be feeling like forced to keep His commandments, right? We do it because we love God, right? So, you know, think about things in your life that you might do because, you know, you really care for that person, right? You don't feel like forced, like, ugh, like, man, it's irritating, but you do it because, you know, you want to, right? It should be the same thing, right? So I want to remind you today that God is the best thing in your life, right? Infinitely better than anything that this world has to offer. God is the one who gave you new life, right? If you're a believer, right, you have eternal life through Christ Jesus, right? Once you were headed for destruction, right, for hell, right, because of our sinful nature. But God, right, with His love and mercy, right, He saved us, you know, by faith, right? So this is good news, right? Don't trade this amazing gift that God has given us for anything in this world has to offer, anything that, you know, that our flesh desires, anything that we see, anything that we take pride in, okay? All that is insignificant. So what you choose is important because one leads to eternal life and the other doesn't. Remember, this world is passing away. It's going to disappear. It's going to no longer be here, right? All your accomplishments, right, everything that you might value, those things are not going to be here. But what's going to be here is you who does the will of God, right? You're going to abide forever, right? So you want to know if you have eternal life, right? You want to know whether you have eternal life, right? I want you to check yourself, okay, and see, you know, if you're doing the will of God and if something needs to change in your life, right? So let's just recap, okay? Loving the world, okay? Loving the world, these are the things in the world, okay? These are the things in the world, and it shows that you love the world. And ultimately, these things lead to death, okay? They're going to pass away. And people who love the world, they don't have eternal life. They don't have eternal life. They're not going to abide forever. Right? But those that love the Father and do the will of God, who keep His commandments, right? Doing the will of God shows that you love the Father. Okay, if you're doing the will of God, then, you know, you should have assurance that you have eternal life, okay? That you're in a good place. Okay? And have assurance, you know, don't doubt, right? So, like I said, you know, some of you guys may be doing this, maybe you're doing this, and you know, you have assurance. Some of you might say that you're Christians, but, you know, doing the will of God isn't really on your mind that much and doesn't really affect what you do, then, you know, I would say check yourself. Check yourself. Do you say that you love the Father? Can you say that you love God, but then not do the will of God? No, you can't. So check yourself, okay? And see what, and if you, you know, and then, you know, from that you know whether you have eternal life or not. Right, so it comes back to this picture, right? Like, which path are you going to choose? Right, the one that leads to life or the one that leads to death? Right, it's your decision. Right, no one can make that decision for you. I can't make that for you. Your parents can't make that for you. You know, your spouse can't make that for you. No one else can make that for you. It's your decision. And what are you going to choose? So, you know, with that, let's bow our heads and pray. Oh Lord, you're the giver of life. You're the one who can give eternal life. And Lord, I want to thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, to provide this way that we can have to be in a relationship with you, to receive this eternal life. God, Lord, I want to ask that you would speak to each one of us, Lord. Help us to reflect upon what we've heard through your word. Lord, help us to come back to this passage, to read it again for ourselves, God. Would you speak to us, Lord? Would you show us, you know, where we are in this relationship with you, Lord? Because you know, you truly know what's going on in our lives. Help us, Lord, to not, you know, be taken up in the things of this world and to trade it for what this great gift that you have given us. We know that you are the best thing in our lives. Help us do your will every single day. Help us to love you. Help us to do these things out of joy. Thank you so much, Lord, for this relationship, Lord. And we love you so much. We pray this in the name of Jesus.